بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى آخر الحديث. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله on the most precious gift of Iman and the perfect teachings of the Deen of Islam and being in the Ummah of Allah's Habib Sayyiduna Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. And for this we make daily shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Verbally say at least alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. All praises be to Allah who has guided us. The people of Jannah will say to this great abode, had it not been for Allah to guide us and Allah's guidance, we would never have been guided of our own accord. This precious gift of Iman, last week we had looked at the promise of Allah Ta'ala. Once the claim of Iman is made, it will be put to the test, and in accordance with the strength of Iman, the sternness and the severity of the test would manifest itself. That is why our beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that of human beings, those who go through the most intense tests and difficulties are Anbiya alayhimus salam. For them, it is there only for elevation of status, as the prime example of steadfastness in the face of difficulties, the pristine obedience of Allah Ta'ala under all conditions, whether prosperous or challenging. So one is ascertained that with the claim of Iman, there will be differing levels of tests. And look how kind Allah Ta'ala is, that Allah Ta'ala gives us the question paper beforehand. In general terms, Allah says, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. We will test you by means of apparently favorable circumstances, prosperity, good health, financial stability, abundance of sustenance, rains, and other forms of apparently favorable circumstances. The test there is to recognize the giver of those favors, who is Allah Ta'ala alone, to obey Him, to thank Him, and to channel His given favors in His obedience. On the other hand, Allah Ta'ala says, and in fact, many a times, the test that comes in the form of favorable circumstances, of prosperity, etc., can be even more difficult, because a person in indulgence in the favors of Allah Ta'ala becomes blinded from the very giver of that favor and his obedience. On the other hand, the test of Allah Ta'ala comes in the form of apparent difficulties, adversities. Allah Ta'ala specifically details these in the Quran Azim. Subhanallah, the beauty of the Quran Azim, the beauty of the seerah of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is that they are living examples as we go through life. And what is happening to the Ummah in Palestine, specifically in Gaza, hundreds of innocent lives literally lost in a day, innocent children bombarded, homes and entire families, hospitals that are supposed to be the place of refuge are bombed. And in recent times, shortage of fuel, food provisions, many on the brink of severe hunger and thirst and poverty. Similarly, in neighboring Syria, the city of Idlib, especially in the last few days, severe, horrendous atrocities being meted out against Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, many other parts of the world. Now this with the claim of Iman, these tests are not surprising. In fact, we believe with yaqeen and conviction in them. Allah Ta'ala then gives us details specifically of specific ways in which the test would manifest itself. And Allah Ta'ala says with double emphasis and stress grammatically, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we will most definitely, certainly put you to the test in different ways, sometimes with some amount of fear, anxiety that may overcome you in circumstances, وَالْجُوعُ, and sometimes severe hunger, وَنَقَصِمْ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, deficiency of wealth, وَالْأَنْفُسِ, loss of lives, وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, and a deficiency in provisions, in fruits, etc. And Allah Ta'ala tells us that these are the tests that come. The test is to remain steadfast, to remain resilient, adherent. And how amazing it is, the news that comes out of Gaza and other parts of the world, that the more the oppression that is meted out to them, the more it strengthens them in resolve, in firmness on Iman. When a young Palestinian child who is injured says, and such a good understanding, that even if every one of us are martyred and every one of us loses their lives, yet we are victorious, and they, the oppressors of the Israeli regime, are those who have failed dismally. So Allah Ta'ala tells us that those who are resilient, steadfast, adherent, and obedient to the commands of Allah Ta'ala in these conditions, that when a difficulty befalls them, the immediate response is Inna Lillah. Such amazing calmness in these words in the face of difficulties, that most certainly we belong to Allah. So Allah Ta'ala deals and tests us as He wills. Wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. Our ultimate return is only to Allah and none but Allah Ta'ala Himself. Where Allah is fully aware of what a person is going through individually or as an ummah. And Allah Ta'ala knows fully, and the rewards of sabr is one of those things that only Allah Himself will reward, because it is so abundant, بِغَيْرِ حِسَاب. Allah Ta'ala says, يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَاب. Those who have exercised sabr will be rewarded without count, without limit. So these various forms of tests, and Allah Ta'ala says, give glad tidings, وَبَشِّرْ, give glad tidings to those who react in this way. Do not become despondent, do not question the will of Allah, do not turn away from Allah Ta'ala. Allah gives glad tidings for them, salawat, special mercies. One is you have general mercies, wa rahmah, but for them descends directly from Allah, His most special mercies, that in that extreme difficulty they are at peace, they are contented, they know that everything is from Allah. Important for us in every situation to obey Allah Ta'ala. And a further guarantee, وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. They are the very ones, Allah Ta'ala says, who are the barometer of being guided. They are on hidayat and guidance, and the barometer of guidance. So these tests will come in the form of hunger. And what great difficulty is mentioned in Gaza, completely blocked off. But we find precedent for every situation in the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the 8th year of Hijrah, when Islam started to gain more and more strength, specifically those who had migrated to Habasha, to Abyssinia, true to the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a land of truthfulness and a king in whose court nobody is oppressed, Najashi radiallahu an is later on guided to Islam, gave the Muslims full asylum and sanctity and the freedom to practice the religion. This enraged the disbelievers in Makkah Mukarramah, as did the Islam of two great personalities, Sayyidina Hamza, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an. From that point onwards, Muslims could openly perform salah in the haram, could openly start to invite. This infuriated the disbelievers, and they thought that drastic measures have to be adopted. And what were these drastic measures? After physical persecution, lives were lost. They then embarked upon, and this is one of the manifestations of Allah's promise of the test coming in different ways. that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims and the clan of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Abu Talib and others had protected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should be enforced into a boycott, sanctions, financial as well as a social boycott totally of the Banu Hashim, the Banu al-Muttalib and all the Muslims, unless they handed over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Quraysh to do what they wanted to. So Abu Talib and others took the decision to render full assistance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irrespective of the situation. The sadness on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on Abu Talib's passing away from this world without Iman, therefore is understandable. And so they were forced into the gorge, the valley of Abu Talib, where for 3 long years, food was kept back from them, to such an extent that Abu Lahab, the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, went to such lengths that when a trade caravan had come with basic food items, he prohibited them from selling to those who are within this financial boycott. Do not sell to them, or otherwise if they do come to you, then mention exorbitantly high prices that's unaffordable to them. And he even said that whatever losses you incur, I will make up for it. Such lengths of enmity, so extreme difficult situation. The children within that gorge of the Muslims would cry out of severe hunger, and the disbelievers on the outside, majority of them, would rejoice in seeing the pain on young little Muslim children. There were some amongst them who took objection. Hakim bin Hizam was once caught by Abu Jahl taking food to his auntie, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. He rebuked him. Another disbeliever, Abu al-Bakhtari, came and said to Abu Jahl, how can you stop a man when he's taking basic provisions to his auntie? Hazrat Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu testifies that in this time the hunger was so desperate. He says, one night I went out, I stepped on something moist, and I took it and swallowed it without looking or thinking what it is, and to this day I do not know what did I eat. He says, another night I had gone out to relieve myself when I stepped upon a shriveled piece of camel skin. I picked it up and washed it and then burnt it, and its powder that was pounded, I took that down with water as the only means of something to eat. They survived on the leaves of trees in these 3 long years. When finally some of the leaders of the Quraysh felt pity, disbelievers, but knew that this is immoral, this is injustice, and they got together, 5 of them, and raised the matter in the assembly of the Quraysh. Hisham bin Amr, Abu al-Bakhtari, Zama ibn al-Aswad, and the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who despite being a disbeliever felt this pity towards their clansmen, and they took this matter up. Abu Jahl said that this was a matter that you probably connived and discussed collectively. Subhanallah, the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the same time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed his uncle Abu Talib that this boycott that had been written by the Quraysh and put into the walls of the Kaaba Sharif, after 3 years, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that ants and termites have eaten up this oppressive clause that is inside the Kaaba Sharif, with the exception of the name of Allah Ta'ala. Abu Talib informed the Quraysh, he says, this is impossible. He says, my nephew has never ever told a lie. Go and see. If it is as such, then end this boycott. And if it is not as he has said, I will hand him over. Do what you want. To their utter shock, they found exactly as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The clauses had been completely, the immoral clauses had been completely eaten up by termites. And similarly, we find many other incidents. So the Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our life, in our married life, that no 3 consecutive days had gone that for 3 days consecutively we had eaten to our full. She says sometimes 2-3 moons would pass by, 2 entire months we did not light a fire to cook food because there was no food to be cooked. She was asked, what was your survival upon? She says, Al-Aswadan day. When the trench was being dug on the occasion of Khandaq, extreme cold, severe hunger, when Sahaba radiallahu anhu come to inform Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and raise their shawls to show stones that had been tied to their bellies to suppress the severe hunger, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam raises his Mubarak shawl, and what do they see? Not one, but two stones tied to the Mubarak belly of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So steadfastness, the value of iman, and to turn to Allah fervently with tawbah, with istighfar, for the benefit of ourselves, for the ummah. The season of rain has come, beneficial rains. One great means is to forsake haram and sin and turn to Allah Ta'ala sincerely with abundant istighfar and tawbah. In the verse of Surah Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, he tells his people, istaghfiru rabbakum, repent to Allah, ask Allah forgiveness. He is abundantly forgiving. He will send rains in torrents. He will increase you in your wealth, in your offspring, will make your rivers flow and your gardens abundant. A person comes with Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, and he says, complains about drought and famine in his area. He told him, abundant istighfar. Another complains of poverty, he said, abundant istighfar. Another complains of not having children, abundant istighfar. One of his students, Rubai, said to him, everyone with differing problems, but the same advice. He says, read the verses of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's advice, as is mentioned. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, there was a severe drought. They went out to make Salatul Istisqa for rain. On that occasion, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sufficed on abundant istighfar. When he came back, somebody said, why only istighfar? He says, I have tapped the most potent channel of rain coming down from the skies and read the same verse. So lots and lots of istighfar to rectify, to change our lives, obey the commands of Allah Ta'ala in order to gain the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Reminder once again, we have this great, and jazakumullah khairan, the donation last week towards Gaza was mashallah very, very generous. May Allah Ta'ala accept every cent that was spent. We once again have this opportunity, one of the means of drawing the mercy of Allah in these circumstances, to spend in the path of Allah. And what a noble avenue, the house of Allah Ta'ala and madrasa. Let us open up our hearts, generously donate as much as we can, inshallah ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas salam. Hayya 'alas salam. Hayya 'alal falah. Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. Was salatu was salamu ala sayyidina wa habibina wa shafi'ina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. أما بعد فيا أيها الناس اتقوا الله عز وجل في السر والعلن فإن الله يحب المتقين ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيثما كنت وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها وخالق الناس بخلق حسن أخبرنا الله عز وجل أنه بدعوى الإيمان تأتي الامتحانات فقال الله عز وجل أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون وقد أجمل الله عز وجل أنواع هذا الامتحان قائلا ونبلوكم بالشر والخير فتنة وفصل الله عز وجل أنواع البلايا والامتحانات قائلا ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون بشرهم الله عز وجل قائلا أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون فلنرجع ولننب إلى الله عز وجل بترك المعاصي والتقوى وكثرة الاستغفار كما أخبرنا الله عز وجل قول نوح عليه الصلاة والسلام لقومه استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد رسول الله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنه وعن الصحابة كلهم أجمعين. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير القرون قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم فرج عن كرب المسلمين، اللهم انصر المجاهدين والمستضعفين والمظلومين والمأسورين في سبيلك في كل مكان. اللهم ربنا بارك لهم في جهودهم وتقبل شهداءهم. اللهم أطعمنا من جوع وآمنا من خوف. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شؤوننا كلها ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين، اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من أيدي الصهيونية، اللهم عليك بهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر المستضعفين والمظلومين في سبيلك في كل مكان. اللهم اسقنا غيثا مغيثا مريئا مريعا نافعا غير ضار، عاجلا غير آجل. اللهم اسقنا الغيث ولا تجعلنا من القانطين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أتموا صفوفكم وسدوا الخلل، تقاربوا. Filling the safs, filling the gaps in the safs in front of us. Once we are in the saf, stand as close as possible, ensure that our shoulders are tightly joined to each other, so that when salah commences there are no gaps between us. Ensure that the heels are in a straight line. Amongst the means of unity in the ummah is to stand as closely as possible in salah, shoulder to shoulder. اعتدلوا تقاربوا استووا. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى. سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الله أكبر استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله اللهم أنت السلام عليك السلام الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم أنت ولينا فاغفر لنا وأنت خير الغافرين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم اسقنا غيثا مغيثا مريئا مريعا نافعا غير ضار عاجلا غير عاجل اللهم اسق عبادك وبهائمك وانشر رحمتك واحي بلدك الميت رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم وسكنهم في الجنة اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان عليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وانزله المقعد المقرب عندك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.